Hello and welcome to another episode of the Diet Obsessed podcast. I am your host, Veronica Santarelli, and this is a podcast for those of us who are just obsessed with all things diet culture, fitness, wellness trends, food, how celebrities get results. I also review other podcasts and media on these topics. On this show, I like to discuss details and the reality of trying to find balance in a world full of extremes. All right, let's get into the show. Now, if you want to support the show, there's a few ways you can do that. One way is just to leave me a rating and review. That means absolutely everything to us podcasters. So that's an easy way. You can go to Apple Podcasts, leave a comment, leave some stars. Another very meaningful way is to subscribe to my premium content. So I produce two free episodes per month. This is one of my free ones. And then I have a few premium content shows that are extra juicy, extra personal, and some taboo type of topics. So those you can subscribe to through Patreon. You can also subscribe through Apple Podcasts. I have a link in my bio on Instagram at the Diet Obsessed Podcasts. You can follow me there. You can get the subscription links through the link in my bio. So check that out at my Instagram handle, which is the Diet Obsessed Podcast. Now, I am going to change it up this week. I have a fascinating guest, so I'm going to get into that interview in just a minute. But first, I wanted to talk to you about our sponsor, which is a trusted nutrition program focused on healthy aging and longevity. It's called ProLon for promoting longevity, and it helps maintain health, energy, clarity, weight, and performance while supporting healthy aging and the rejuvenation of the cells. As all of you know, I'm very much about slowing down the aging process and increasing longevity, and that starts with what you're consuming on a regular basis. Their main product is the ProLon 5-Day Nutrition Program that feeds the body with clean premium ingredients while providing the rejuvenation benefits of fasting. The ProLon system allows you to eat for 5 days and your metabolism and cells think you're fasting. It's the number one doctor-recommended fasting nutrition program based on over 20 years of research, and it's something that I need to do again. I've done this program twice, and I definitely need to do it again when I'm back from the East Coast because I've been emotionally eating a lot of sugar lately. And in human studies, ProLon showed to reduce biological age as well as risk factors for health conditions. It's a great body and spiritual reset that combines plant-based nutrition with spirituality and rejuvenation. Fasting is common in all divine religions and major meditation schools, and now science has uncovered that there are major benefits to this practice. Check out ProLon's nutrition products and program. You can do the 5-day program, which they recommend doing 3 times per year. So I have one more time to do it again this year, and I'm definitely going to be doing it when I get back from the East Coast. After all my, well, most of my emotional eating is done. I often like to emotionally eat and comfort myself with food. So ProLon is a great reset for me. But go to ProLonLife.com and you can actually use my code Veronica20 for 20% off at checkout. I'm going to put this in the show notes. It's also through my Instagram link as well. So if you go to the Diet Obsessed Podcast, go to my bio, you can click on that link and it'll take you to all the places. You can subscribe to the premium content. You can get the promo code for ProLon. So enjoy. All right, let's get into the episode. So today I have a very special guest. Risa Grew is a functional nutritionist and certified autoimmune coach in private practice in Newport Beach, California. She's always been passionate about nutrition and good health. Risa was so concerned about purity that she made her children's baby food from scratch. Today, she works with a wide array of clients with health conditions such as diabetes, autoimmune disease, cancer, digestion, thyroid issues, and hormone imbalances. Risa firmly believes that the body can heal itself with whole foods we obtain from the earth and sees living proof of that in her office each day. She wrote a book called Food Frame, Diet is a Four-Letter Word. That came out in 2022, and it's a comprehensive guide to using functional nutrition guidelines to help readers identify the root causes of various health issues, and then eat according to their health status and begin the healing process. Welcome to the podcast, Risa.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I was really impressed by your background and really interested in some of the work that you're doing. So I'd like to hear kind of what sparked your interest in functional nutrition and autoimmune coaching.
Yeah. So, you know, I grew up in my house, everybody was on a diet. You know, my mother was always trying to lose that 5 to 10 pounds that she was just always, you know, I'm dieting and these foods are bad and these foods are good. And I was very confused because all the foods that she called bad were the foods I really enjoyed. And all the foods that she said were good, I was like, okay, those are good. But, you know, I'd much rather have the bad food. So I grew up with this really skewed relationship with food. And my grandmother did the same thing. And all the women around me were always on this diet. And so when I grew up, I had this really kind of strange relationship with food. And I started, you know, doing these dieting thing too for the 5 pounds that I was always chasing. And then I got married and I conceived my child right away. Nope. We decided to try. And all of a sudden, no problem. We had a baby. Easy pregnancy, everything was great. And then we wanted to try for the second and it wasn't happening. And I had a couple of miscarriages and I just couldn't get pregnant most of the time. And I was, you know, just so upset. And I ended up going to a fertility specialist and he did my blood work and said, oh, your thyroid's an underachiever. Here, take this. And he gives me a script and it's, you know, it's for medication and for my thyroid. And I said, well, how long do I take it for? And he said, every day. And I said, no, for how long? He said, oh, the rest of your life. And that moment right there sparked in me, why am I taking something synthetic for something my body's not producing? And why is nobody asking why I'm not producing it? Right. So I started to do a ton of research, and this is in the day where there wasn't that much available. And I tried to figure out why my thyroid was not an overachiever or even, you know, meeting the standard needs. So I took the medication for a little bit and then I did everything. I did herbs. I did exercise. I did everything, you name it. And it seemed to keep my thyroid in check. And then when I did finally get pregnant, with my second child. After that, I got a little bit of symptoms. I was feeling a little tired. I started having some hair loss or hair thinning, nails brittle, all those things. And I went to a integrative doctor and she said, oh, you have Hashimoto's. And I said, what? What is Hashimoto's? And so here Hashimoto's. I was having, Hashimoto's thyroiditis. And it basically means that your body thinks that your thyroid gland is the enemy. So it starts to create antibodies and attack it. And it'll shrink the gland. And I thought, how could this be? You know, I eat really well. I exercise. Everything's good. And I just don't know how this could be. So that was another trail that I started to follow big time. And I wanted to find out why. How did I get this autoimmune disease? And nobody could really answer for me. I couldn't find a list of reasons why anywhere. So I spent years, and I mean years, creating a list myself. I put it in my book, Food Frame, because I think everybody is entitled to know the root causes of what causes autoimmune disease. But it's basically antibody production. A third of it is genetics, and another major part is leaky gut. And when we have these things that are creating antibodies, eventually they're going to find a gland, a tissue, an organ in which to park themselves in. And so mine happened to be my thyroid, which is very common. But there's tons of about 200 autoimmune diseases, and we're growing, unfortunately, in great numbers. And so I went down that road and I became a certified autoimmune coach. And during that course of, by the time I had my kids, I went back to school and became a clinical nutritionist, and I started to study functional medicine. And now I am a functional nutritionist because I really firmly believe that we are not born with deficiencies in medication and that pills for an ill is not the paradigm for health. So I always look at root causes and I look at prevention.
I love that. I love that so much. I mean, one of the reasons I started this podcast was because, you know, my dad was really sick from the way he ate and smoked and his poor nutrition. And if he had just had, you know, some balance in his life, he wouldn't have developed all the chronic health conditions that he did. So I love the preventative approach and finding the root cause. So the thyroid issue was tied to your infertility. Is that what you're saying?
Yes,
Okay, interesting.
that, and I have a gene mutation which is very, very common. I test everybody I work with for called MTHFR, and I had never heard of it. Nobody ever tested me for it, and it's super common. I mean, almost everybody has it. The statistics are about 90% of the population has it, and I test everybody I work with, and it's very uncommon to find somebody not have this gene mutation. And basically, what it means is that you cannot methylize or process either your B12 and or your folate. Your folate's B9, and folate is super important for conception. And I had that allele for folate, and folic acid, which is a synthetic form, is given to us in prenatals. It's fortified in foods, and it's really quite damaging. So I did, went down that rabbit hole and realized that you have to take a methylated form of a B vitamin, which I started taking, and then I got pregnant. So for me, that was a big contributing factor. But I also had Epstein-Barr virus that was activated. I had some a parasite that can cause Hashimoto's. I had a couple of contributing factors and low vitamin D levels, things like that.
Interesting. And how is your relationship with food, considering that your mom, it sounds like from your grandmother, were immersed in that kind of diet culture mentality. So, have you heard the term almond mom?
No.
Oh, you haven't heard of that. So there's this, it was like a viral TikTok thing where, it came from, like, I don't know if you watch The Real Housewives of anything, but Yolanda was this called an almond mom because she was like telling Gigi, her daughter, that she should only eat almonds so she could stay thin for her modeling career. And
Wow.
it's this idea that, like, sometimes diet culture is passed on from our moms, and
Sure.
just this constant focus on dieting when we really don't even need to. But so how is your relationship with food now in terms of,
Oh,
like, diet culture?
amazing, because it's not about deprivation,
Yeah.
right? That diet just totally symbolizes, and the word diet is actually what you eat. It's not a restrictive word or deprivation word, but it's become that way. So I have to use a different word. Like I use eating lifestyle instead of diet
Right.
because it just has that connotation of deprivation and starvation. And it isn't about limiting foods and it, well, I shouldn't say that. It is about, it's about choosing foods that help you thrive. So I kind of put it in two categories. There's eating for survival and eating for sport. Most people who come to see me, they walk in the door and they're mostly eating for sport. What do
Right.
I feel like? What sounds good? What am I in the mood for? And what I work with people on is changing that and eating for survival. We're always going to have sport eating because, of course, it's your birthday or you're traveling, and food is a part of our culture. It's part of our experience. So we're always going to have some, but we have to budget for that, just like we do with our money, right? We just don't go spend crazy just because we have it. So it's that I liken it to money a lot because we think about our money and how we spend our money and how we save our money and how we save up for big things. And we don't think about that with our food. So I think it's really important to, if I know, I mean, I just got back from Paris last week, and
Amazing.
I went out of the box a little bit on things that I don't normally go out of the box, but it was part of the culture and it was part of my experience. And I brought my gluten flam with me, but I enjoyed it. I didn't go crazy, but I chose selectively, and it was part of my experience.
Right. No, and I love that. I follow you on Instagram now, and I was seeing some of your pictures. I'm like, ooh, that stuff looks delicious. And I love hearing that because I'm a big proponent of, mindful indulgences and enjoying everything that the world has to offer, but also having that balance so you feel good. So with your personal health journey, I would imagine that very much influenced your career path. So talk to me about how your personal health journey influenced some of the people that you work with and how that overall influenced your career path.
Yeah, it's interesting because I look back at my career when I started a couple decades ago, and I remember when people would walk into my office and I would say, "Okay, great, let's do a food allergy test and see what you're allergic to." And I would do these tests, and sometimes I would say, "Oh, geez, this person is allergic to a lot of foods." And they would look at me and be like, I can't eat anything. And I would think, you know, I felt helpless. How can I help this person? And I'd put everybody on the exact same eating program, you know, an anti-inflammatory eating program and very plant-based centered. And, you know, I took out dairy and gluten, but it was one size fits all. And I noticed after doing this for a while that some people were thriving and some people were not.
Right.
And so I realized that the food allergy testing that I was doing is really more food sensitivity. And it's really the result, it's the consequence of the root cause. It isn't the root cause. So, what I mean is, when we have leaky gut, intestinal permeability, we have gaping holes in our intestinal lining, and these undigested proteins go in through the back door and it gets into the bloodstream. And the body goes, "Who are you? You're the enemy." And it starts to create these antibodies, as I was talking earlier about. And these antibodies will cause inflammation and food sensitivities. So that's not the problem, though. The problem is closing up those tight junctions in the intestinal lining. Make sure you have the integrity of the intestinal lining and a very healthy layer of epithelial cells and mucosal lining. So we only have one layer of epithelial cells to protect our intestinal lining. So it's incredibly imperative to make sure that that is a healthy lining and it doesn't have holes or rips or tears so that we have leaky gut. There's so much research now. We're so fortunate to be living in this time because leaky gut equals leaky brain. You know, leaky gut, leaky mouth. So there's all these, you know, everything starts in the gut. So we have, it's imperatively important. All disease basically starts there. And inflammation is the driver of disease. We know that. So once I started learning that, I started getting deeper into root causes. And that's when I got into functional medicine and I studied extensively. And now I know I read lab work and I know what to test for. And I give every person I work with a very extensive, comprehensive blood panel and a stool test. And I test them for MTHFR. If I need to do any further testing after that, I do. If somebody wants to do hormones or if I feel that hormones are part of the equation, then I do that as well. But I'm always looking for those root causes.
And so the way that you improve that lining to stop the leaky gut, is that different with each person? Is it sometimes nutrition for some people, supplements for other people?
It's always nutrition for everybody. We know that fiber and polyphenols help to heal that tight junction, those tight junctions. And then I usually use supplements. Some kind of, you know, L-glutamine is a really important amino acid for gut repair. And certain types of probiotics will help with that as well. Akkermansia muciniphilia is a bacteria in our gut that is extraordinarily protective. And I test everybody for it. And so many people, I'm just blown away, don't even have it. So I'm always looking for those things. But going back to your question about my root causes, when I was going through my digging and my journey, I changed my diet. I was a former vegan, and I noticed that my blood sugar started to increase. And I wasn't eating any sugar. I wasn't eating any pasta. I wasn't eating any bread. I was just eating a lot of carbs with beans and quinoa and black beans, garbanzo beans. I would eat hummus and lentils almost every single day.
Right.
So I knew something was wrong. So I did a stool test, the one that I do for everybody now. I performed that for myself, and I was riddled with some bacteria. And my cholesterol was extremely high. And I did a cardiovascular lab through Boston Heart Lab. And my CRP, my inflammatory markers, and my likelihood of having cardiovascular disease was quite increased. So I thought, this is crazy. I wasn't even eating cheese, right? So I wasn't having any much dietary fiber, dietary cholesterol at that time. And so I took it to a biological dentist because I know that dental health and heart health are extremely related, very
Yep.
connected. And when I went to the biological dentist, I brought my stool test and I showed it to her. She was a periodontist and she took a look at it and she goes, "Oh, that's a salivary bacteria." And she put me in, gave me a CAT scan right there on the spot. And next thing you know, she found it. There was an abscess that had grown around a root from when I had my wisdom teeth extracted 23 years prior to that day.
Oh my God.
Right?
Abscesses are so bad. They can kill
Right?
you, right? Yeah.
And I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel
Wow.
anything. You couldn't see anything. There was no tenderness. There was nothing.
That's
Absolutely zero,
crazy.
nothing. And so they opened up, not that day, but I had surgery a couple weeks later. They opened up my jaw and there was a piece of metal that they had left in there as well. But anyway, they took all that out. And next thing you knew, my labs started to totally normalize.
Wow. That is fascinating that something in your mouth was tied to your overall health conditions. I mean, it makes sense. And I'm hoping my friend is listening because she has had so many struggles with her gut health lately and she just cannot figure it out. And it can be a lot of different things, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Just keep looking because there is a root cause. And, sometimes it's easy. I love it when it's easy, but most times it's a little hard. But not always, sometimes people are riddled with mold. It could be, viruses. There's a myriad of things it can be. Sometimes it's just as simple as a major vitamin D deficiency. So it
Wow.
just depends.
Yeah, that's why testing is so important. So, how did you first realize that you could reverse your autoimmune disease symptoms naturally?
Well, I knew that I was creating antibodies. And I watched when I changed my diet, I kept testing my antibodies and they were starting to go down and down and down. So I just kept doing what I was doing and I kept researching and I checked everything off that list. I killed those bacteria. I increased my vitamin D. I took a vitamin B for my MTHFR. I stopped eating so many carbs in legumes. I took all the high lectin foods out. I went on the autoimmune protocol for 90 days. I had treated my EBV. I treated my SIBO. And next thing you knew, I mean, it was years that I did this. I chelated. I had a lot of heavy metals. So I had grown up on tuna fish. I ate tuna fish salad almost every day. And I chelated mercury out of my system. It took almost a year. And I checked one thing off the list every year. I would just keep just one. After I checked one thing off the list, I'd go to the next one. And eventually, I started to reverse all those antibodies. And I was at 1,485 of my TPO, my thyroid peroxidase antibody, which is pretty high. And I got it
Yeah.
down below 34.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yep.
How exciting to realize that you can, do these types of things and get these types of re results naturally. Because I used to be in the weight loss industry, and I would have a lot of clients that were treated for various conditions, but it seemed like some of them were autoimmune conditions, but a lot of them were treated with prednisone and steroids, and it would make them gain like 100 pounds. I mean, some of these weight loss clients became weight loss cases because they were given a steroid. And what do you feel like? Because when I think of autoimmune, like I think of this personal trainer I used to work with when I was in the fitness industry, and she had a terrible case of lupus, and it was debilitating to her. I mean, and I just remember how like her body changed, and you could see the inflammation and the puffiness. And so what are some of the most common misconceptions about autoimmune diseases that you encounter?
Well, typically in our conventional allopathic paradigm that we have for healthcare, we'll typically go to a doctor, and the doctor, I mean, I think the statistic is you'll go to six doctors before you're actually diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. Once you are diagnosed, they just give you a pill. So typically people just try to manage it. I don't think people really even realize that they can reverse it or they can improve it. I'm working with somebody right now, same exact situation. She's young, late 30s, and she has kids, young kids, and she's busy, but she's in pain every single day with rheumatoid arthritis. Went to several doctors, and they finally diagnosed her. And she came to see me, and we're down to, I mean, she was like at a 7, 8, 9 on every day, debilitating as far as pain is concerned, out of a 10. And now she's like, if there are days that she goes without any pain at all, and then if she does have pain, she has a little bit in the morning and it usually goes away by the afternoon. We're still working on that, but it's a process, and we just are sort of at the beginning. But that's the why I wrote the book and why I do what I do, because I want people to know that you are not powerless to this autoimmune disease. You can address it with nutrition and lifestyle.
Right. Oh, that's exciting. So how do you approach identifying the root causes of autoimmune diseases with your clients?
So I basically go down that checklist, right? So I get the labs, and that's going to tell me a lot. The blood test is going to tell me about inflammation. It's going to tell me a breakdown of white blood cells. So I'm going to be able to see if there's a bacterial infection or a viral infection. Typically, we look at neutrophils, lymphocytes, monocytes to see what that breakdown is. Then, and so I can tell a lot by that blood test. I can see vitamin D. I put everybody on a vitamin B no matter what, and they walk into my office because we just need it. It's helpful for RNA and DNA and gut, and anybody stressed, you're eating up all your B vitamins, so much medication, block B vitamins, birth control pills, block B vitamins, and acids are a huge blocker of B vitamins. So I just give people B and D pretty much that first day. And then I do the stool test, and that's really helpful. So I'll see how they are with gluten. I'll see how their digestive enzyme production is. I will see what pathogens they have. I'll be able to see the good guys, the bad guys, and how much inflammation and how leaky they are by that test. At some point, depending on the results, I may do further testing. So if somebody shows a very high anti-gliadin, which is a protein in gluten, if it's lab high, I'm going to do further testing. I'm going to test them for a celiac panel and autoimmunity to gluten. And then I'm going to test them for cross-reactivity, because you could be taking all of the gluten out, but it has a very similar protein structure as, let's say, corn or eggs or sorghum. And sorghum is in a lot of gluten-free products. And your body reads it the same way as it reads gluten. It thinks it's the enemy. So it's still creating those antibodies. So I do that further testing. And I'll just keep going until I find it. So we just basically go down the checklist. People usually feel better right away. I usually detox people right away, the first thing, just to get all the toxins out of the liver and to clean and take the inflammation down and start healing that gut. That's pretty much what I do. But everybody's individual. So I don't do, I'll keep going. I don't give up. So if you're still in pain and it's not working for you, then I'm going to keep going until I find that root cause. Like your girlfriend, I would just keep testing and keep testing, and keep asking questions until I find that root cause.
No, I love that. So there's a lot of, because obviously there's celiac disease and people that really have strong gluten intolerances. But then I've also heard that a lot of people don't have gluten intolerances and are fine to eat gluten. What are you seeing through testing so many people? Do you find that the majority of people do have sensitivity to gluten, or do you find that that's kind of overblown? Or what are your thoughts on gluten overall?
Yeah, so gluten it's a protein that we find in wheat. It's also in barley and rye, spelt, and things like that, and grains. And so we used to not have as much of a problem with wheat. And in Europe, for instance, they process it differently, they grow it differently, so it's not as problematic. And everybody has a different tolerance. So some people are completely tolerant of gluten. They can process it, they can break it down. Those are people usually who have good digestive enzyme production. And then there are people who are either gluten sensitive or gluten intolerant. So again, we could do further testing to really find out how much sensitivity a person has. But I always say it's not a health food. So gluten is very, very effective at poking holes in the intestinal lining. So if you'd like to create those tight junctions and leaky gut, then have all the gluten you want. It's very effective at causing leaky gut. But if there are some people that I will say, you look great, and so you wouldn't be sitting next to me at the restaurant going, yeah, there's no way, no how I'm having any gluten, or you'd be going to Italy and I'd say have fun. So it depends. I don't find a ton of people like that, but there are certainly people like that. But I still don't say eat gluten all day. It's just not good for us.
Right. What are some examples of, feedback you've given for people to change their diet in order to, reverse or potentially reverse some of their autoimmune conditions? Can you give us some specific examples of like recommendations you've made? And obviously it's going to be different for each client, but maybe some specifics for different cases.
Sure. So, if somebody walks into my office and they know they have an autoimmune disease, then I'm immediately going to put them on the autoimmune protocol, AIP. And AIP is very restrictive. It is not meant to live on AIP, but it is a 30 to 90 day protocol. And it really takes out all the offenders. It's going to take out all the nightshades, right? Your potatoes, your tomatoes, eggplant, goji berries, and what am I missing? Peppers. And so it removes all of those. And those are very high in lectins. And lectins are under the umbrella of anti-nutrients, and they cause a lot of inflammation. They can go through that tight junction, and even some of them can get by without a tight junction, without a leaky gut, and create a lot of havoc. So we remove nightshades. We remove all gluten, dairy, sugar, alcohol, coffee, processed foods, chocolate. You're eating animal protein, vegetables, most all vegetables, a little bit of fruit, and sweet potato and yams. There's no nuts, there's no seeds, there's no eggs. So it's very restrictive, but I can tell you that I have seen tremendous results. I worked with somebody who had Tourette's, very visible Tourette's, and went on the autoimmune protocol, gone. So anybody I know who has one has been diagnosed. You walk in my office, you say, I have this. They're going on the AIP. After that, I'm going to recommend either a low lectin diet or a paleo diet. But if your symptoms come back, like I have somebody who has rheumatoid arthritis, a different person, and if their symptoms come back, she just goes on that autoimmune protocol again. And she'll do it for maybe 30 days, and the flare-ups go away, and she's good to go. I had somebody with Sjogren's who was just very debilitating and had eye drops and had all these medications, gone, just totally gone. So it's miraculous what food can do. It just really, it always amazes me. So, and it's just trying to take out all the chemicals. So you've got to watch what your cleaning is, and your shampoo is, your conditioner, your nail polish, your makeup. All of that can be very, very toxic. And that is, a toxic overload is going to stress out your system and cause inflammation.
Yeah, I truly believe that food can be medicine. And yeah, when you're eating clean like this and you see symptoms of chronic health conditions go away, it is amazing. I would imagine to make that really strict way of eating a lifestyle, it's just in our culture where we're just inundated with all the processed foods and the commercials and the temptations. I would imagine that can be very challenging for some of your clients. What are some of the other challenges you have with your patients when they're trying to adjust their diets for health reasons?
Wine. People
Yes.
love wine.
Yeah.
People are just very attached to their wine. Coffee is right behind it, but don't take my wine from me. Yeah, it's alcohol's a tough one. So I always say, you're in the ring with Muhammad Ali. How many gloves do you want? It's me. I'm having as many gloves as I can get, right? So just let's remove the wine for a little bit. But those are really the challenges. It's interesting. I work with a wide array of people, and some people don't cook at all. They just go out for every meal. They could be going to all these, fast food restaurants, things like that. And there's no better satisfaction to watch them transform and really start understanding what they're feeding themselves and what they're feeding their children. So I love educating people with that because we have so many, as you said, temptations and food choices, but they're really not food. It's
Right.
fake food. So it's not nutritious. It's not doing anything for you, right? It would be in that category I would call food for sport, but it's worse than that because it's void of nutrients and it causes damage. So so many things can be prevented. Disease can be prevented. Diabetes can be prevented, type 2. So, why wouldn't you do what it takes to do that. And other than that, I have a pretty good compliance rate with the people I work with. And when they come to me, I'm usually the last stop. They've been to a few doctors, they're super frustrated, they're on a lot of medications, and they want to feel better. So we usually people say, tell me what to do and I'll do it.
Yep. Are there, because I had a naturopathic doctor on my podcast, and I was just curious if, do you ever drink alcohol? Like, are there better alcohols than others? I think he was saying that he might drink some gin. Do you have any opinions on a better alcohol over wine?
Yeah, so I don't drink wine at all, but I do will have a tequila from time to time. It's less processed, it has less sugar impact. Gin is the same thing, it's a little bit more stronger than tequila. And vodka, certain vodkas I will drink a little bit, but not often. And scotch, whiskey, things like that are can be good for some people, but limited amounts. So, it's putting a little kerosene on a fire. And I wanted to address because you talk about the diet industry, and I think it's important for people to know that there are five major reasons why we do not lose weight. And if somebody is really frustrated and is not losing weight, you've got to go through these five things to figure out what it is. But something's out of balance, right? So it could be blood sugar, it could be thyroid, it could be sex hormones, it could be cortisol or stress hormones, and it could be a buildup of toxins, right? Toxins live in fat cells. That's why we lose weight when we detox. But it's typically one of those five reasons. And if there is, I always call it a fire in the basement, right? If you're super inflamed and you imagine that you've got a fire in the basement and you're calling the fire department and you're scrambling, you've got this fire going in your house and you've got somebody on the second floor saying, "Hey, can you help me change the light bulb?" And you're like, "What? We've got a raging fire," right? So I say that because a lot of people will come into my office, "I just want to lose like 10 pounds." I'm like, "You are so inflamed." And when we're in that in state of inflammation, our body knows to hold on to our resources because we don't know when we're going to need them. So we cannot give weight up. So put the fire out and address those five root causes.
No, that's important to think about when you're looking at why your body's not moving. And I'm always curious. I do like to talk about people's specific diets. I mean, so my podcast, The Diet Obsessed, it's a play on words. I mean, I'm a foodie. I love food. I love the indulgent. And I also love the nutritious foods. And I think it's important to have that balance. But I do love to hear about a typical day, especially for someone that's in, the world, the health and wellness world. So do you mind sharing like a typical day of what you eat with our listeners?
Sure. I pretty much almost always start my day with a shake, a collagen shake. I produce my own collagen and I'm a freak about collagen. There's so many benefits. That L-glutamine I was mentioning that for a leaky gut that's helpful is one of the amino acids that creates collagen. So it's really, really helpful for leaky gut. It's really helpful for hair, skin, and nails. Really helpful for muscle. Immunity, and it's a not processed. It's a highly absorbable form of protein, and I'm all about protein, fat, and fiber at every meal. Anytime I put something in my mouth, it's usually a combination of protein, fat, and fiber. So I start off with that shake, and I'm using usually coconut milk or almond milk, and then I put in my fat. So it's either half an avocado, quarter of an avocado, or tahini. I like a lot of tahini. It's very high in calcium and no net carbs. And it's just ground up sesame seeds, and or I'll use a little bit of almond butter on occasion, or coconut cream. Coconut cream has caprylic acid and lauric acid, very, very good also for gut, antimicrobial, and really good for skin. And it has no net carbs. It's good fat. So I use any of those, and then I always stick some greens in there. I pack in a bunch of greens and seeds. So usually I'll do chia seeds or flax seeds or hemp seeds. And I don't use a lot of fruit, but occasionally if I do, I'll use maybe a quarter cup of an organic wild blueberry. I can get that at Trader Joe's or Whole Foods. And but I'll do chocolate a lot, and I'll put some raw cacao in there as well. Sometimes I put a little peppermint extract in there to make a chocolate peppermint, which is so delicious. But I do
Delicious.
a lot of different ones. I'll do my vanilla with chai. I do a lemon meringue. I do a lot of, I shake it up all the time, literally, because I have it every day. And I always say to people, you can make extra and put it in popsicle molds. And in the evening after dinner, you can have a popsicle, which is so good for you. So I start off my morning with that. And I put my gut reboot in there and all the good stuff. And then I pretty much have a salad every single day for lunch. And that salad has some form of fat and protein, and all the vegetables I have, if whatever I've got left over or raw or cooked or roasted, I throw it in that salad. And then I'm having usually chicken or shrimp or salmon, whatever fish I have, I typically do, or I make my own chicken salad weekly, pretty much, and I change it. I do a curry chicken salad, or I do a my avocado basil, or I just shake it up all the time. And then I usually do either an avocado, little ch cut up avocado if I didn't do it in my shake, or I do some olives, Kalamata olives I love, and then I sprinkle it with sesame seeds or sunflower seeds. I always make my own dressing. And then I will snack on veggies a lot.
Now, do you try to get 100 grams of protein plus a day, or do you count your protein grams?
Don't really count because I can feel it in my body. If I'm hungry, I'll have more protein. And so I probably get about a little just shy, maybe 80 grams of protein. But depends. If I'm working out a lot, I'll increase my protein. I can just kind of go how I feel. And I will snack on nuts. I do that macadamia nuts a lot. And then I make chia pudding a lot. So I'll have chia pudding if I want, if I have time to snack on that or have that for dessert. And then for dinner, pretty much the same thing. I just made a really yummy mustard chicken the other night. And I made it with cauliflower rice with shiitake mushrooms and asparagus. And so I do a lot of that. I'll do stir fry. I make soups. I do a lot of zucchini pasta. I just love that with either a pesto or a tomato sauce and turkey meatballs or turkey meat sauce. And I don't eat a lot of carbs, really. Occasionally, I'll have a little bit of gluten-free crackers, but I don't really. And I have sweet potato. I make sweet potato fries at least once a week, or sweet potato potato chips, which are delish.
And you don't feel like you're missing carbs. You don't feel that craving for carbs if you're not getting a lot of them in.
I don't eat a lot, so I don't a lot of carbs, so I don't really. There are times if I'm hungry, I'll probably eat more nuts, and I'll eat more carbs. So I'll, that will be a sweet potato or a yam night for me if I feel like I need more carbs.
And then, do you have any indulgences ever that you're like, okay, I'm going to treat myself?
Chocolate. I love dark chocolate. I love it. So yes,
Nice.
I do a lot of Lily's, but I bake. I make cookies or brownies. I have all these recipes on my website. So I use allulose as my sweetener, and I love allulose. It's in my products as well, and it comes from figs or raisins or jackfruit, and it doesn't spike blood sugar levels. It doesn't give you any gastric upset, and the best thing about it is we really don't digest it, so it just goes through the system, and so it therefore really has no calories or carbs, so it's like a free food, and it tastes terrific. There's no aftertaste, so I'll do that on occasion. And I do like, there's So Delicious is an ice cream company, and everything that they make in the teal label is sweetened with not xylitol, not mannitol, but erythritol. And it's just a sugar alcohol, and too much of it will cause a little gastric upset. But they make these bars that are very hard to find, but they make like a fudge bar, and it is perfect. It's three net carbs. It tastes so good to me. Probably doesn't taste good to other people, but I love it. And it's just that cold treat that I get every now and then, and I just love it.
Amazing. I love the specifics. I like hearing what people are eating. And then I also love hearing success stories. Do you have any success stories you can share about patients who've reversed their autoimmune diseases through, dietary recommendations and supplements?
Oh, yeah, I've got tons and tons of them. One would come to mind that people could probably relate to is I worked with Freddie Couples, who's one of the greatest PGA golfers of our time. And he came into my office and he wanted to lose 20 pounds before the Masters. So I said, okay, no problem. We can lose 20 pounds before the Masters. That's not a problem at all. But tell me about your back pain. He was famous for back pain and he was carted off golf courses and the announcers would talk about his back pain all the time. So he starts telling me about the back pain. I said, on a scale from 1 to 10, how much pain are you in every day? He said, at least a 7. And if I'm golfing a lot, an 8 or 9. And I said, well, tell me about when did this start? And so he goes through the whole story. And, about a half hour later, I said, so when did the surgeries happen? He said, oh, I never had any surgeries. I said, you've never had surgery. He said, no. So I said, okay, has anybody checked your inflammation markers? He lives, his both of his homes are on golf courses, which are sprayed, and he works on golf courses. And so he is breathing in these toxins all the time. He was having sensitivity to smell. He would get in an Uber and he would have to cover his nose. He would get headaches. And so I knew we had a lot of toxins going on. So he said, test whatever you need to test. And we did. And he was extraordinarily inflamed. So I put him on my detox. And the next week he came in on the first week of the detox. It's 2 weeks long, but he came in the first week and I said, what's your number? He said, I'm a 4. He said, I feel amazing. So the week thereafter, he was a 0 or a 1, depending on how much golf he played. And anytime ever I've seen him since, he's at a 0 to 1. I haven't seen him in a while, but he I'm only telling this because he proved that I was it's okay for me to talk about it. He did a testimony on my website. But I love this story because he went to a million doctors, one in Germany, one in Mexico. He traveled all over the place. He traveled with his physical therapist. And what he needed was to decrease his inflammation. And it was just that easy. So I gave him copious amounts of turmeric and we changed his diet and he's on the road pretty much, 50 weeks a year or something like that. And so I gave him all these helpful hints to how to travel and eat well, which is very challenging, but it worked for him.
That's
I
great.
work with a lot of people with anxiety who we can get rid of anxiety typically with adrenal glands and the proper nutrition. That is always a great, fun one. I love to do that. And I work with a lot of people with gut issues, chronic diarrhea. I'm just always amazed how many people live day to day for years with chronic diarrhea. So I love when we have, when we can create a much better microbiome for somebody.
Yeah. Do you ever recommend anything natural like CBD to lower inflammation or natural cannabinoid products?
Occasionally, but it's not my first recommendation.
Yeah. It sounds like turmeric and some of those other options are your go-tos.
I have a Fab Five that anyone with autoimmune disease is getting on. So it's vitamin D, omega, resveratrol, turmeric, and glutathione, our master antioxidant. And those really help to aggressively bring down inflammation.
Fantastic. I'll have to go back and take some notes after I'm done with this. What are your thoughts on the whole GLP-1 medications, the Wegovys, these weight loss drugs that are coming out that are lowering the food noise and helping people with weight loss? Like, what are your thoughts on this whole world class, like, of new weight loss drugs?
Honestly, I'm quite scared because it now that's approved for 12-year-olds and older,
Right.
and it is the wrong way to go because we are saying do not learn how to eat and just take this pill. And we don't know. I mean, we think that there's some thyroid dysregulation that's taking place. I've seen people have a lot of joint pain while taking the GLPs. And I've seen people get off the GLPs and they start gaining weight back. And so what's the end game here? And I was talking to a girlfriend last week and she was telling me, a mutual friend of ours, oh, she looks terrific. She lost all this weight. And I said, oh, how'd she do it? And she said, oh, she's on Ozempic. And I said, "Oh, how's she feeling?" She goes, "Oh, she said it's awesome. I could eat whatever I want now. If I want a burger, I just eat a burger." And
Yeah.
that's exactly what I'm talking about, that it's not about learning how to eat, because eating is, as I said, for survival. It's not for sport. And it's okay to have a burger every now and then, but what do her, she probably has some blood sugar dysregulation, so it's going to mask that. But how do we teach people to actually eat so that they could optimize their health naturally? This is, I think it's scary. I'm scared what's going to happen to our children's generation.
Yeah, it's and there's so many different opinions. I love hearing different people's opinions. I'm kind of fascinated by the topic in general. And I follow a lot of I follow so many different wellness accounts. And you have the dietitians that are, the anti-diet dietitians that work with eating disorder patients, and they're like, every food is okay. And they're trying to get away from like this idea that some foods are actual poison. But then there's your perspective, right? Where you actually can heal all these chronic health conditions that can be caused by the way we eat. So it's just so important, like, to show both sides of this topic. And I don't think, and I see the perspective, I see that all these different perspectives, and everyone has a different point. There's people that feel relieved that they've been diagnosed with a disease of obesity, and they can treat it now with a drug and get the results that they've never been able to achieve. And then there's people that think it's a shortcut and are worried about the health ramifications. And it's just so fascinating.
Yeah, and there is the greatest advancement that we're seeing, which I'm super excited about, is in probiotics
Isn't
and
what?
probiotics.
Got
So there's prebiotics, probiotics, and postbiotics. And postbiotics are basically what feed the colon, the end of the line. And these are short chain fatty acids. And short chain fatty acids, if they're made in the mucosal lining, it's going to create akkermansia, and akkermansia is going to create your own GLP. So we're starting to see, I'm just testing one right now that just came on the market. That's a GLP natural producer. So it's going to increase your satiety, your leptin, and decrease your ghrelin, your hunger hormone, naturally, because you're doing it through mucosal lining and naturally. So, but the question is, why are we having food cravings, and why are we eating too much? So is that something that's living in your gut that's requiring more sugar? Are you overgrowth of yeast or candida in your gut that is begging you for sugar? It's some kind of an overgrowth or something that's going on that's creating this desire for more calories or for more sugar. So we're just bypassing that altogether. Don't worry about it. And so, what's the long-term goal here? Well, I don't care how thin you are when you're in the casket. I just try to keep you out of the casket, right? I'm trying to
Right.
create longevity and quality of life and
Yeah.
prevention. So is this preventing things? Sure, it's decreasing your blood sugars. And people are seeing, getting paid for going to work very quickly, which it doesn't typically happen naturally. It's a lot slower process because it's nature. But I just don't see it as a good thing.
Right. Well, this has been just such a fascinating conversation. I appreciate you joining me here. I do want to give you some time to talk about, where listeners can learn more, what they can take advantage of that you have to offer. So just, I know you have a hard stop pretty soon. So go ahead and tell the listeners where they can learn more from you.
Yeah, so I work with people all over the country, and they can find me on my website at Risa Grew Nutrition, and all my social media is Risa Grew Nutrition. I have an online thyroid course that I spent all year years and years and years of research. I put it all into this online course, and it's very comprehensive about your thyroid, whether you have a thyroidectomy, whether you have Graves, overachiever, underachiever, whatever your situation is, it's everything thyroid, what labs to order, how to read the labs, everything. So I'm very, very proud of that online course. I of course have my detox, which I'm a huge fan of. And it is not about weight loss, but people do lose weight, but I'm all about weight loss as a side effect of wellness, and it is a wellness program. People feel amazing on that. So we have that and a bunch of different products also on my website.
Great. Well, she is going to give our listeners a promo code that they can use on your products, right, Risa?
Yes, just for the detox, 10% off the detox, and I'll give you that code. You can put it in the show notes.
Okay, fantastic.
And my book, Food Frame, is also on the website, but you can also find it on Barnes and Noble, Target, and Amazon.
Great. So I'm going to put all of this information in the show notes so all of you can follow Risa and check out all of the things that she has to offer and all of this great information and the research that she's done. Thank you so much for joining me today, Risa. This was a great conversation. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you have a great day. Thank you.
You too.
Thank you.